Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. It is time to check in with our friend Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
A blessed Monday.
Yeah, this is, you know, what can I say? This is kind of like, as I told you when you called me earlier, I looked out my window here, sitting on the, we have a two-floor house here, and a little office I'm sitting in. I just, we've had so much rain, I saw no one in the ark from flying by here. So, yeah, no, it's well, I mean, they need it on the east, on the west coast, to be sure, all of this El Nino stuff that's going on. You know, I think you can remember it was 3 years ago when we had this El Nino, and we had maybe 2 inches of snow the whole winter. And of course, that was the winter I bought a snowblower. And so that didn't work out very well. So
what you really needed was an extra sump pump, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, I did put a new one in, so 2 years ago, one of these submersible ones. So I'm sure your listeners are just, it would be interesting sometime to know, you know, some of our discussions with myself and some of your other people. Well, we all kind of feel we're just what we, I'm not sure what the word normal Christian is. I only knew one normal Christian, and that was Jesus. So some of the rest of us, based on what I've been reading on transgender, writing this chapter for this book, Dr. Gifford's Fort Wayne, is just stunning. Sometime down the road, maybe we'll talk about that as well. There's just too much information on that topic, which really surprised me. I was just amazed at the amount of information on this topic that has just boomed, literally, from 1995 when they took the word T, transgender, and put it on the end of LBGT. And but that's for another day. I have a couple topics here, Andy, that I think, especially your older listeners, and I once in a while I run into a few of the older group, which I'm part of, and they really like hearing what you have to say and your guests have to say. And this one has to deal with two articles in the journal Science that I read. And this is towards a healthy aging and putting off the inevitable. And they make the distinction between a biological aging and chronological aging in here, which, of course, chronological aging is, you know, you're 5 years old, celebrate birthdays, and the biological aging is how do you, you get up in the morning and how do you feel? Do you feel younger or do you feel older? And what they're trying to do is to, through research, and this is about a 60-page articles on this thing, they really start off with animals. And of course, this gets into the whole issue of evolution, you know, that somehow, because we all have the same genetic code, we are related. So if we can study some of the lower animals that live a long time, maybe that we can figure out how we can improve our living and make it more healthy. And so they even quote Aristotle here that says the reasons for some animals being long-lived and others short-lived, and in a word, causes the length and brevity of life, call for investigation. He says this Greek philosopher suspected something had to do with moisture. And they really have no idea what is involved here, and we'll get to that in just a second here. But they do know that elephants and tortoises, there's a bowhead whale, they live longer than human beings. But cats outlive dogs by at least 3 years. Smaller dogs outlive larger dogs by at least 3 years. And the dog expectancy has increased. And they said the life expectancy has doubled in the past 4 decades for both dogs and cats. I guess that's why we have more veterinarians and more expenses that we have. So I know this sounds a little kind of weird to be talking about this, but in one sense, when you have a journal like Science that dedicates about 60 pages to various articles on aging, of course, it brings to my mind, and we've talked about this before, but it has to be repeated. They're still trying to figure out why people who are certainly living longer, and they know medicine and doctors and these YMCAs and other health places are going up and people are taking better care of themselves. But they also know that some people who are trying to skirt the issue of dying and death are looking for ways to skirt that issue in these articles. And, of course, none of these articles bring up the original sin, that everybody is going to die eventually. And all you have to do is go visit a cemetery and figure that one out. So I wrote a little article, a response to this. They wanted to know about the longevity of a person and what's happening. So I just told them they need to read Genesis chapter 1 through 3. So it's just one of those things, why we age. And I think just a little side note of genetics to your listeners, a chromosome, which most people have heard about, or it's a word that means colored body, and we have 46 of them located in each body cell. Like you look down at your hand, the top or the palm, and there's billions of cells in there that make up, of course, your whole body. And each individual cell in its nucleus, the center of it, has 46 chromosomes, including the sex chromosomes, the XX for women and the XY for men. And at the tips of each one of these chromosomes, of these 23 pairs, it's called a telomere. Telomere's end, end body. And as you age, they get thinner and thinner. And, of course, when you get to some point, and you see some people that tend to wrinkle more than other people, and, of course, alcohol, drinking, drugs, these things tend to make those issues worse. What happens is that these telomeres are so thin that cells, for example, when you cut yourself, it takes longer to heal because the cells just can't divide anymore, because the chromosomes can't divide because these little thin caps are not there. It would be like getting up in the morning and your hair is just everywhere. It doesn't look very good. And there's really no way to fix that. And that's what they're trying to do. They figure if they can find that, fix that problem of why these little end caps are thinning and stop and cause chromosomes to stop to divide, which of course causes wrinkling, then of course we can solve the problem of aging and people can live forever. So that's one little side note to this whole issue of why we age. All relates to original sin. It seems pretty easy and simple, but that's really the answer there. The other topic, of course, gets into the whole issue of infertility. And there's a company called, and this is again in the journal Science, called Old Science, that now is, once again, is adding to this, outside of this Genesis chapter 4:1, where it says Adam and Eve, and they begat a son, you know, Seth. And then, of course, Cain and Abel and so forth, they had three children. And then Cain killed Abel. But within that context, that, of course, is between, I'm going to put it this way, the love embrace of the husband and the wife, and the two shall become one. In addition to that, there are 28 ways to make a baby outside of marriage, that is, within a husband and a wife. And they have a new method now where they're taking cells from the tops of the ovaries, taking the genetic material out of those cells, putting them into, along with a sperm in a petri dish from, I'm going to say, the husband here, and putting that into the woman's egg. And this genetic material that they take from the top of the ovaries, that is causing this the cells to become fertilized very quickly and very efficiently. And I know your listeners may be trying to figure this out, but it's another way to make a baby outside the womb, and it costs approximately $200,000. So this gets into this whole baby making industry, gets into biblical stewardship of body and soul. So whether or not your listeners are trying to figure out, well, what is Weiss talking about this morning? What I'm talking about is in the baby making industry outside of a husband and a wife. It really is a biblical stewardship issue, and it is an issue of dealing with the body and the soul. And I'm not making a judgment here in terms of what you can or cannot do, but clearly one has to stick within the relationship of a husband and a wife. And to make a baby outside the womb, there's a lot of other issues have to be considered.
Certainly a lot of issues, a lot of questions surrounding that.
Well, there are, and I think we tend to, next spring I'm going up to the Michigan District to talk on some of these issues, and I know at St. Louis Seminary and Fort Wayne Seminary, there have been conferences on infertility, because it is 35% of infertility is women, 35% are men, approximately 25% or so are both. And then there's this 2 to 3% or so where we have no idea what's bringing it on. But we have situations in the Bible that deal with this that your listeners can study. Rachel, you know, give me a child, I'll die. You got Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. And, of course, now with Christmas, you got the incredible stories of Zachariah and Elizabeth at a very old age. And then you have, of course, the Immaculate Conception. That is to say, when Mary was probably, at least what I have read, between 12 to 14, maybe 15 years old, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and God became a baby in her womb with her husband, that is her betrothed husband, Joseph. And betrothal usually lasted about a year. And so we can understand the whole story when we get into this issue of stoning, and I'm sure your other guests can relate to this over Christmas. But all of these things have to be studied within the context of Scripture, as we've said before, so that the science must agree with the Scriptures where we can. And if we can't, we shouldn't be adding a whole bunch of things and say, well, since the Bible doesn't say, it must be okay. That gets into this sort of a freewheeling approach to the Bible, which one has to be very careful of and get into a lot of prayer and discuss these issues with people who have a pretty good knowledge of them.
Certainly an important topic, and I appreciate that we have the symposia each year to help us learn about this topic. Are there other events throughout the year that help us learn about fertility, infertility issues and ethics throughout the year? I know that the LCMS offers some great resources.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, Lutherans for Life, of course, as you well know, coming up in January, they're going to be meeting on East and Washington, D.C., and also the West Coast around the January 22nd, 23rd of the Roe v. Wade issue, which certainly has to be discussed because that also involves another case that came out just before called Doe v. Bolton, which actually defines what health means, especially with all the issues of Planned Parenthood that are happening certainly in the St. Louis area. And as we know, in South St. Louis, it just occurred in throughout the United States and the world. And then, of course, both seminaries do have symposia that deal with various life issues, not necessarily the issue of elective abortion or infertility, but they all deal with what it means to be human. And this gets back to Christ, and I think here we go with the incarnation, where God became a baby, God took on human flesh and became a human being. It's going to be so important for all of us to remember when we get to certainly through Advent now and Christmas, and that he will return in glory to judge both the living and the dead.
Amen. Amen. Well, just a few seconds left. What topics do we have to look forward to in 2016, Dr. Weiss?
Well, actually, one of the big topics, we've talked a little bit about it, but I'm going to try and spend a little more time, and that is this whole issue of immortality.
Mm.
It's really becoming a huge issue in the field of science, and we're going to try and hone in on some of those issues. But once again, the whole issue of infertility is still at the top, but I also think we need to hone in on what's happening with what I call what's happening to the human body. There's a Latin phrase called the carpus abscondendum, which is the hidden body. And how much should we be paying attention? What should we do in relationship to all of the new deconstructions of marriage and the human body from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer generation, and discuss it so we can deal with pastoral and Christian care of those people whom we know struggle with these issues of identity. So we'll be talking more about Christian identity in relationship to some of these factors that are occurring in science, in the social sciences, and behavioral sciences.
Well, we are all out of time. Thank you, Dr. Weiss. God's blessings on your week.
To you and your listeners, Andy. Goodbye.